Welcome to the online version of the youth message, which is really for all of us, being we're all young at heart. We are now in the second Sunday of Advent, anticipating the birth of Christ. But we constantly stay in the state of Advent for his return. But in Luke's Gospel, chapter 3 tells us that John the Baptist is preparing the way for the Messiah. God's Word, verses 1 through 6. Now it's the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius, the Roman emperor. Pilate was the governor over Judea. Herod Antipas was ruler over Galilee. His brother Philip was ruler over Itura and Trachonitis. Lysanias and ruler over Abilene. Annas and Caiaphas were the high priests. At this time, a message from God came to John, son of Zechariah, who was living out in the wilderness. Then John went from place to place on both sides of the Jordan River, preaching that the people should be baptized to show that they had turned from their sin and turned to God to be forgiven. Isaiah had spoken of John in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 and 5, and this is what it said. He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare a pathway for the Lord's coming, make straight road for him, fill in the valleys and level the mountains and hills, straighten the curve and smooth out the rough places, and then all people will see the salvation sent from God. May God add his blessings to the reading, hearing, and the understanding of his holy and precious word in the New Living Translation. As a preacher, I pray forgiveness for pronouncing some of those names. They're tough at times. Touchdown in the wilds. Wow. What are we calling touchdown in the wilds? Well, I don't know about you, but I don't think there's anything so exciting as a touchdown. Well, after all, it's football season. Every Saturday and Sunday afternoon, folks all over the country gather around televisions and home and gathering places to cheer on their favorite teams. Who are you cheering for this season? Well, we know the Seminoles aren't going to make it, but there's a lot of good college teams that we follow. But my question is this, what makes football so exciting is the struggle, the raw energy, initiative, strategy, and it takes to maneuver down the field towards the goal. You see, each time the team gets another down, a cheer of glee rises from the bleachers. People pay a lot of money, spend a good deal of time paying attention to who will make it through that jungle of bodies and equipment and elements and setbacks in order to win the game. Well, perhaps nearly as popular has been the advent of survival shows. Now, I don't really watch them, but I know they're out there. Survivor is now in its 41st season since the year 2000, and is probably the most popular nail-biter of all of them. From the CIS series, the NCIS series, there are just not as many in comparison of that many seasons. Now, my Judy likes to watch Bull. I don't know about what Bull is, but she likes to watch that. I think it's based on Dr. Phil. But anyhow, adventure, wilderness, terrain, survival challenges, struggles, these things somehow thrill us. The thought of being alone on a desert island, though, or out on the open seas or in a dangerous jungle may set our teeth on edge, but it also gives us that adrenaline rush as we get in touch with our inner wild things and primal humanity, or perhaps some case even primal scream. That's not for me, that kind of stuff, but it is. People enjoy it. It's entertainment, I guess. But each step, whether on the football field or in the survivor's wilderness, challenges us to think instinctively and creatively in order to make decisions that will not set us up ahead, but keep us alive and uninjured. What is it all about, that super hormonal rush that gives that satisfaction? Well, we're humans in some ways just slightly above our animal friends. Games, whether they're video games or televisions or sports, allow us to get in touch with our wild side in this. Amen. But here we are in Advent. Advent 2 is about a wild space. It's time when God touched down right here on Earth and started a movement that would reverberate throughout the planet. And all these thousands of years, it's still a wonderful thing. But it all started in the wilderness. In fact, if you look at the scriptures, every significant God moment happens somewhere in a wilderness place. Think about this. Jacob's vision on a remote hillside in which he sees the staircase of God descending to touch upon the earth. Abraham and his covenant pact with God in which a torch of fire seals the deal. Hagar's encounter with God in the wilderness in which she is cared for and fed. Then you have Elijah. Elijah's wilderness journey in which he is fed by the angels. Now Moses is surprising. He was surprised in the wilderness when he encountered God in a burning bush. Jesus challenged in the wilderness in which he was tested for 40 days. He was in the wilderness being tested by Satan. Isaiah's voice in the wilderness, the one that John will pronounce as prophecy being fulfilled. And there are many, many more in Scripture. But God always touches down in our wilderness place, the place in which we feel most alone, most barren, most despairing, and mostly just lost. It is in this place that we hear God's voice and feel God's presence calling us out, nourishing us, caring for us, giving us a new direction. The wilderness is a place of change. Last week, you know, we spoke of Advent as a time to get ready for change. For God changes the world by changing us, and it is done one person at a time. Jesus, too, began changing the world by changing people, healing one heart at a time. And the most healing moment in history happened when God touched down for real in the person of Jesus Christ. God manifested in the flesh. Now, I want us to think for a moment about a space or a flow. What happens when you interrupt that space or flow? It changes everything about it, doesn't it? And you think of a still pool of water. Imagine in your mind that pool, whether it's the pool in your backyard, in a swimming pool, or a basin on your table, or a pond, maybe somewhere on your property, or a bird bath. Imagine water that has no movement. It's just still. When I was water skiing many years ago when I was young, I loved to water ski, but I wouldn't go water skiing unless I looked out and I saw the water was just still. That was a fun time to water ski. But imagine a droplet falling into the water. Or if you're thinking about a larger body, a pouring of water. So what happens next? The water forms rings, doesn't it? And they start expanding outward and outward more and more until the entire body of water is changing and moving. It's changed directions. It started into motion. The sand beneath had been rearranged. That one drop has changed everything about that pool of water. Now, we're blessed here in North Florida to have a place out in Mariana. That is a cavern with stalactites and stalagmites. If you've never visited out there, you need to go. But if you did visit, as I did and Judy did, you are amazed at the rock formations in that cavern. We call them stalactites and stalagmites. And they form long spikes in formation just from dripping water, constantly dripping water. It's an amazing phenomena, and even change that seems to be slow as molasses can affect a huge change, even in something as hard as a rock over a period of time. Time matters, and change matters. That's in a sense what happened when God touched down in the wilderness long ago in a deserted place outside of Judea, in the region of the Jordan River. God interrupted and we call it Advent. It's a time that we get together, and we get together and we say, you know, we need to repent. Sometimes repentance, that word of repentance, gets a bad rap. Now, we've been horribly bad people, and I must admit that we as people are, most of us are bad, or we've experienced bad times, especially back all through history. And we need to fall prostrate and ask for forgiveness. I don't care how much of a good saint you are, we have things in our life that we need to seek repentance and pray for God's forgiveness. And that kind of repentance, John the Baptist was talking about. It's a repentance that we all need, a cleansing of the soul, a recommitment to God as our sovereign Lord, or removing of the debris of guilt and shame that we carry with us day by day and year by year. We need a renewal of our spirit. Just as that drop of water reverberates through the pond, God's salvation energy reverberates through each and every one of us, reminding us that God is near. Sometimes we think about it as our conscience, but it's really the Holy Spirit. That's how near God is, because God is active in the world, active in us, no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing. God's making change, and God wants to make that kind of change within us. Just as our baptism, we commit ourselves to God. A time of repentance when we remember our baptism, and in a time of Holy Communion with God, or just communion, go and be still and know that I am God. A place that we can just recommit our lives to Jesus in a quiet place. You see, in a sense, God gets in touch with our wildest place in our soul and interrupts our lives in order to change our hearts and our minds and our intentions and our actions for the future. God's touchdowns are always places where covenants are formed. And whether in the desert or in the desert of our hearts, time and space, human culture, context, the earthly realm as we know it, and changed everything. There is that wild space, that beautiful, remote, primal, creative wilderness space that's uninhabited, uncontrollable, unpredictable, untamed. That covenant wild space. God began a movement that began with the prophet John and continued with the birth of Christ. You see, the scriptures tells us God's word to John's son of Zechariah in the wilderness. John went through the region of the Jordan River, calling for people to be baptized and showed that they were changing their hearts and lives and wanted God to forgive their sins. The voice crying out in the wilderness. That's the proclamation that God has appeared and that God's amazing plans for humans and world salvation have been put into motion. Maybe everyone didn't see that initial drop of water that began that colossal change. But John saw it, and God made sure that John saw it, and the proclamation was born. This second day of Advent, in which we are going to partake of Holy Communion, if you will. You know, it's a wonderful thing, even here on the online service, we have a tab on there where you can participate with Holy Communion. Because you can do Holy Communion anywhere, anytime. And all you need to have maybe the elements, a little grape juice or a little bit of bread. But I invite you, whether you do it in person or do it online, to immerse yourself into that experience with God, in which God can enter into the wildest parts of your soul, the most primal part of you, and reform you in a new creature. Oh, hallelujah. One that is at peace with the earth and with yourself, with your neighbors, and with God. God can begin a new process in you. And it can be whether it's slow like a stalactite or fast as a tsunami. That change in your heart and your life, so that you can go on to change the hearts and lives of others. We call it evangelism, sharing the good news. The wilderness is not only changing place, but equipping place. It's a place of change, but it's also a place of formation. for you and I, it's an encounter that can change everything. So as you come forward today, either in the online service or in the Spirit or in church for Holy Communion, think about what you would like to have changed in your life. Do you want to remove the chains that bind you to an uncomfortable past? We all have those uncomfortable passes in our life. And Satan likes to mess with it. So I say, get thee behind me, Satan, for I have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, and I celebrate communion with God. So get thee behind me. That's what Jesus did when Satan tempted him. So the question for all of us, do we really want to remove guilt and shame that weighs upon our lives? Do you want to remove worries or stress that impedes our wellness, both physical and spiritual growth? Do you want to remove doubt which inhibits you from your relationship with God? Do you simply want to remove mistakes that plague you and refuse to let you go? God can remove them all in your place of wilderness. For God is the King of touchdowns. Hallelujah. God always wins. So come forward now to the table of grace. Clear our minds and open our hearts. And let God interrupt your life and set you in a new direction. And when you get up from the table, you will feel cleansed and clean and an attitude of thanksgiving for Christ coming into the world, not only to forgive our sins, but to create a new person in you, a new direction in life, and how we can have life more abundantly. Thank you for tuning in to the online service, and hope and pray that you're doing well on this second Sunday of Advent. Amen.